Hello everyone, welcome to JTalk Extra Time. John Steele here. This episode is a solo mini-pod rounding up all of the J2 action from Wednesday night. This midweek there was a full slate of games, round 18 of the season already. Goodness me, almost time to start doing the Christmas shopping. I suppose the season's moving at a frightening pace. Without further ado then, here are all the key points from the round 18 games on Wednesday. There seems to be a gap opening up at the top of the table right now, with the top three 7 points clear of the rest. That's Sendai, Niigata, and Yokohama FC. Sendai are still in first place, 1 point clear of second and third, but they drew 0-0 at home to fourth-placed Okayama on Wednesday night. Not too much to talk about really in this game. I think Sendai probably had the better chances, but overall, based on the highlights I saw, a goalless draw seemed like a fair result. So Sendai's winning streak ends at 3 matches. It finished Sendai 0, Okayama 0. Niigata in second place won 3-0 for the second game in a row, this time away at Mito. Naoki Tsubaki nearly put the home side in front early on, but his curling effort from the edge of the penalty area came back off the post. All of the Niigata goals in this game came in the second half. In the 53rd minute, Shunsuke Mito intercepted a loose pass just inside his own half, carried the ball downfield to the edge of his namesake, opposing team Mito's penalty area, and then beat the home goalkeeper, Luis Yamaguchi, a bit too easily at his near post for 1-0. Midway through the second period, Niigata got a kind of a comical second when a corner kick sailed over absolutely everybody except Shion Honma. He was completely unmarked at the far post and tapped the ball into the empty net on the volley. And Honma then scored a third with about 5 minutes left, smashing in a shot from the edge of the box that took a deflection on its way past goalkeeper Yamaguchi and into the roof of the net. So yeah, Mito 0, Niigata 3. The final score. Only one defeat in the last 11 now for Niigata. They are looking very good at the moment. Yokohama FC, the team that were beaten 3-0 at Niigata last weekend, bounced back with a comfortable win at the bottom side, Iwate. 3-1 was the final score in this one, so Yokohama FC stay third. Iwate had an early warning from the visitors when Zane Isaka hit the base of the post with a low shot from the edge of the penalty area. But Yokohama did take the lead about 5 minutes before half-time, centre-back Gabriel heading in Tatsuya Hasegawa's free kick at the far post. Iwate should have been level early on in the second period, but Morelato somehow headed over the bar from about 2 yards out, incredible miss really, and that proved to be costly as Yokohama doubled their lead on the hour. Iwate captain Yusuke Muta, usually quite reliable, was too casual, passing the ball back to his goalkeeper, didn't put enough weight on the pass, and Saulo Mineiro nipped in to score from about 6 yards, make it 2-0. Two more goals came in second half stoppage time. First, Koki Ogawa drilled in a low effort from about 20 yards to make it 3-0, his 11th goal of the season, but a first in 8 matches, so hopefully that'll get him back on the goal trail for Yokohama. And just before full time, Iwate Sobrenner slammed a fierce drive in off the post to make it 3-1, his first goal at the J2 level, so that will probably do his confidence a lot of good as well. Final score, Iwate 1, Yokohama FC 3. Yokohama level on points with second place Niigata, but 7 goals are worse off in terms of goal difference. It's Yamagata in fifth after they won 1-0 at home to Yamaguchi in what I'm calling the Yama Derby, but I haven't run that past Stuart Smith, so don't tell him, okay? The vital goal came in the 17th minute here. Yudai Konishi's deep corner to the back post was headed back across the goal by Kosuke Yamazaki, and Taiki Kato was able to sweep the ball in for 1-0. Not too much excitement really after that. Yamagata keeper Masaki Goto made a good save in the second half to keep out an effort from Riku Kamigaki, but it was a comfortable win for the hosts in the end, even though it was only 1-0. Yamagata 1, Yamaguchi 0, final score. Yamagata going very well at the moment, unbeaten in 9 matches. For Yamaguchi in 18th, no wins in any of their last 4. Switching to the foot of the table now, there were a pair of big 1-0 home wins this midweek. Firstly, at NAC 5 Stadium in Saitama, Omiya moved out of the relegation zone by beating fellow strugglers Ryukyu 1-0 thanks to a late goal from an unlikely source, Masakazu Tashiro. This was a nervy game with a few chances, really, but the vital goal came in the 71st minute. Tashiro brilliantly and, let's be honest, somewhat surprisingly, volleying in at the near post from Masaya Shibayama's left wing free kick. Ryukyu searched in vain for an equaliser. Ren Ikeda blazed over when he should have at least hit the target for them. And Ryukyu had a pretty strong penalty appeal waved away late on when a shot from Keita Tanaka clearly hit an outstretched Omiya arm inside the penalty area. I think the telltale giveaway here is this incident wasn't included in DAZN's highlights package, and that usually means there was probably something in it. But yeah, no penalty was given, and that's how it finished. Omiya 1, Ryukyu 0. Omiya 3 points clear of Ryukyu and that the two relegation places. This win, though, wasn't enough to save Squirrel's boss Masahiro Shimoda. He was fired on Thursday lunchtime, the day after the game, and Naoki Soma, the former Machida and Kashima and Kawasaki managers, already been installed as the new boss, and Soma's first game in charge is going to be this Saturday. Meanwhile, Tochigi made it back-to-back 1-0 wins for them with a home win over Machida. Tochigi were in front after just 4 minutes here, thanks to young midfielder Keita Ueda, who swept in a low drive from the edge of the box. It was a super goal, great finish. Ueda was almost the villain in the second half when he slid into a rash challenge on Dudu inside the penalty area. I'm not a big fan of Dudu, but it looked like a penalty to me. But again, the referee waved play on. This incident did make it into DAZN's highlights package, so make of that what you will. But that's how the game finished. Tochigi 1, Machida 0. Great win for Tochigi. They're 19th in the table, but it's so congested that they're only 3 points off the 10th place team. So I don't think they need to panic just yet. For Machida, this was a first defeat in 4. So they've been in decent form recently. They'll be disappointed they didn't get anything from the trip to Kanseki Stadium. Elsewhere, Kumamoto made it 4 away wins in a row with an impressive 3-2 victory at Gunma. Kumamoto, brimming with confidence, went ahead in just the 7th minute when Toshiki Takahashi latched onto a through ball from Henry Iwaha to easily beat the home goalkeeper. 4 minutes into the second half, it was 2-0. This time Iwaha was the scorer, heading in from close range after a cross from Naohiro Sugiyama was deflected into his path off of Gunma's Koki Kazama. And Kumamoto were in cruise control in the 67th minute when Takahashi scored again. A long ball from Masahiro Sugata found Shun Ito in plenty of space on the edge of Gunma's penalty area, and he cushioned the ball back on the volley for Takahashi to side foot home, yes, for 3-0. Things got interesting in the last 7 minutes when Gunma pulled a goal back, and it was an absolute scorcher from barrel-chested wide man Toa Yamane, friend of the pod, of course. He smashed a dipping shot in off the crossbar from almost 40 yards, an incredible strike and a real goal of the month contender. In the last minute of stoppage time, Gunma pulled another goal back when the ball dropped kindly for Masaya Kojima about 8 yards from goal. He put in a shot that Kumamoto's keeper Takuya Masadu just couldn't keep out at his left hand post. But yeah, Gunma couldn't find another goal, and it finished Gunma 2, Kumamoto 3. Kumamoto are up into 6th place, level on points with the 5th place team, Yamagata. Gunma, meanwhile, have won 1 of their last 8 and sit in 17th, but they're one of a group of 4 teams on 22 points. Another team to score 3 goals in an away victory were Kanazawa, who won 3-1 at Tokyo Verdy. Kanazawa were under heavy pressure for most of the first half at Ajinomoto, but went in 1-0 up at half-time thanks to a fine header from Masamichi Hayashi in the 33rd minute. Riku Matsuda's right-wing cross was deflected off the Verdy captain Ryota Kajikawa, and that seemed to make it an even better ball for Hayashi to head in. 10 minutes into the second half, it was 2-0. A textbook one-touch counter-attack from the visitors, a fantastic move, left Shintaro Shimada one-on-one with the last Verdy defender, and he confidently finished past the goalkeeper, yes, for 2-0. And it was 3-0 after another good counter-attack in the 72nd minute. The ball eventually broke to Ryuhei Oishi on the edge of the 6-yard box, who'd made a lung-busting run to join the attack. His initial shot was well blocked by Verdy keeper Toru Takagiwa, but there was no Verdy defender close enough or quick enough to react to do anything about the follow-up from Oishi, and he scored with ease. Verdy did pull a goal back in stoppage time at the end of the game, a very dainty header from a Junki Koike from a Yuta Narawa cross, but it was too little too late for the home side, and it finished Tokyo Verdy 1, Kanazawa 3. Great win for Kanazawa, who sit 10th, a point ahead of 12th placed Verdy, who've lost 3 of their last 4 matches. Jeff Chiba move up to 13th after a quietly impressive 2-0 win away at Nagasaki. Nagasaki just struggled to get out of first gear in this game, especially early on, and Jeff took the lead in the 10th minute. Toshiyuki Takagi's deep cross to the back post was headed across goal by Shogo Sasaki for Iki Arai to score his fourth goal of the season. And it was 2-0 in bizarre circumstances midway through the second half. Usually so reliable, Nagasaki's metronomic midfielder, Kaio Cesar, completely miskicked when trying to clear the ball inside his own penalty area. He only succeeded in sending the ball trundling across his own 6-yard line for Thiago De Leonso to tap in his first Jeff goal. Very rare to see a mistake like that from a player like Kaio Cesar, and he looked suitably crestfallen. Nagasaki tried to come back, but they couldn't, and it finished Nagasaki 0, Jeff Chiba 2. First win in 3 games for Jeff, and Nagasaki are a point ahead of them in 11th place in the table. To close out the match day on Wednesday night, there were a pair of 1-1 draws. Akita came from behind to pick up a point from their long trip down to Oita, with Ibuki Yoshida heading in a 70th minute equaliser from a Ryuji Saito cross. Very entertaining game, this one. Early on, Akita nearly took the lead with a 40-yard effort from a very unlikely source. Big centre-back Jurato Ikeda cracked a beautiful effort off the crossbar. At the other end, visiting keeper Yoshiaki Arai was busy and had to make a smart save from Samuel with his feet. Arai was beaten, though, just before half-time by a fantastic strike from Kenta Inoue. When a corner was cleared only to the edge of Akita's penalty area, he beautifully collected the ball and curled it into the top corner for 1-0. Akita kept plugging away, though, as Akita do, and they got their leveler through Yoshida about 20 minutes from full time. Oita nearly grabbed all 3 points right at the death, Samuel's header coming back off the crossbar with goalkeeper Arai rooted to the spot, but it finished at Oita 1, Akita 1. Oita 15th without a win in their last 5 matches, whereas Akita are 5 games unbeaten. They're very handily placed in 9th. The game between Corfu and Tokushima in Yamanashi also finished 1-1 on Wednesday night. Bruno Paraiba could have given Corfu the lead early on, but he slammed Hirohiro Sugai's low cross against the post. Tokushima went in front about 9 minutes before half-time when Kohei Uchida rose highest to head home a free kick from his captain, Eiji Shirai. But Kofu equalised from the penalty spot about 10 minutes into the second half. Very soft decision from my point of view. Kofu sub Yoshiki Torikai went down under the slightest of touches from Naoto Arai inside the box, but a penalty was awarded. I thought it was a simulation or a dive, but a penalty was given and it was dispatched emphatically by Willian Lira. No complaints about the finish. Willian Lira then should have put Kofu 2-1 up, but he just couldn't get enough contact onto a low cross from about 2 yards out, with the goal completely at his mercy. As an England fan, I got very strong Gaza at Euro 96 flashbacks there, so 1-1 for the younger listeners. Late on, Kofu centre-back Riku Nozawa was sent off after picking up a second yellow card. Stupidly, he picked the ball up and carried it away when he'd conceded a free kick, so yeah, the referee gave him a second yellow and he was off, but it didn't affect the game too much. It finished Kofu 1, Tokushima 1. Okay, that's all the excitement on the field from round 18. Just time for a quick preview of the round 19 games coming up this weekend. 2 matches are taking place on Saturday, May the 28th at 1 p.m. It's Kumamoto against Kofu, 6 versus 8. And then at 6 p.m, Tokyo Verdy host Omiya. And as mentioned, that's going to be the debut in the Omiya technical area for their new manager, Naoki Soma. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens in that one. The rest of the fixtures are in round 19 all coming up on Sunday, and most of the games are at 2 p.m. Leaders Sendai are at home to Tochigi, and there's a big game at the Big Swan, 2nd versus 5th, as Niigata host Yamagata. 3rd place Yokohama host 18th place Yamaguchi at Mitsuzawa, and 4th place Okayama are on the road at Nagasaki. Other games in the afternoon, Machida host Akita, it's Gunma against Oita, and then at 3 p.m, Jeff Chiba host Mito. There are 2 big games in the evening as well. At 6:30, it's a second bottom Ryukyu against Tokushima, and then rounding off the match day at 7 p.m, Kanazawa host the bottom side Iwate. So what could possibly go wrong for Kanazawa in that one? I'm sure the answer is nothing. So Okay, plenty of football to look forward to over the weekend then, as usual. But that's all from me for this mini pod. So yeah, I'd like to say thanks for listening and downloading the pod and the Big J Talk pod every week as well. We really appreciate that support here. And of course, a big thank you and a shout out, as the kids say, to the J Talk patrons as well. But thanks for listening. Yeah, I hope that was a good roundup of the midweek action, and enjoy your football coming up this weekend. Talk to you again soon. Bye for now.